I'll tell you what, a winning edition. I don't, that might be underselling it a bit. The Blue Jays beating the Boston Red Sox 9-0. Kevin Barker, Jeff Blair here. This is Blue Jays Talk. 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. If you can text us, 590-590 is the text line. Name and location, s'il vous plaît. Wow. That was as, I mean, the Jays have had some big wins in Fenway Park, Kevin. I mean, their record of Fenway Park is actually probably better than most people think it is. I don't know if I can remember a game against the Red Sox that from the first inning to the end seemed as conclusive as this did. I mean, we spend a lot of time talking about what the hell's going on with the Red Sox. But Kevin, I mean, I look at the, you know, I'm going to give the Blue Jays credit tonight. I just look at the Blue Jays, 7-for-17 with runners in scoring position. They had 24 men on base by my count. Andrés Giménez, we've got to give him his flowers. First of all, we'll talk about Jose Berríos in a minute, but Andrés Giménez, Kevin, 3 hits. John Schneider on our show today basically came out and said, I don't give a rat's ass about what Barker thinks, what Blair thinks, what anybody in the city thinks. I think Andrés Giménez can hit. And we kind of thought, okay, that's nice. It's good the manager has his players back. You noticed something different about Andrés Giménez's very first at bat, though, in the single.
Yeah. Well, I've noticed this the last couple of games where he's basically tried to eliminate his stride foot, right? I've been talking about this for, you know, a little while, a couple of weeks, about the scissor effect, right, where he's stride foot sort of stepping towards the shortstop and his hands kind of follow, right? And it's got that little scissors look where his barrel's in the zone and out of the zone as quick as possible. And that's why you see a lot of pop-ups to left field. That's why you see a lot of ground balls to the second baseman. Today, it looked to me like he made a conscious effort of getting the foot down or basically trying to eliminate it. Be a little wider, have the little knee turn, get the foot down as soon as you can, which just allows the barrel to stay in this hitting zone a lot longer and, quite frankly, allows him to hit the ball to more parts of the field. You know, we saw him driving the ball to left center. We saw him getting singles to left field. Can't do that if sort of you're cutting yourself off and the barrel's not staying in the hitting zone. You know, I'm not sure I agree 100% with John Schneider, but man alive, I mean, again, when you're hitting under the Mendoza line, Jeff, you got to make changes. Like some urgency when it comes to if you're going to be an everyday second baseman on a team that's trying to make the playoffs, you got to do more offensively. I just think the urgency because of what we see him look like early in the season with the leg kick and now, you know, more of the knee turn and sort of trying to eliminate, just having better direction, right? Remember, if you're a young person, your hands are going to follow what your feet are doing. If you got good direction with your feet, it's balanced and on time, just allows your hands to get in that path, allows the barrel to do all the work. You have the little good finish that you want because you're balanced and you're on time. So, yeah, I mean, that's the first thing I noticed. So maybe John knows a little bit more than we know.
Yeah, maybe. Listen, I'm with you in that. I mean, Andrés Giménez was kind of, you know, a night where the Jays didn't hit any home runs. His offensive performance kind of pretty much sort of symbolized how the Jays went about winning this game. I hesitate to use the phrase small ball because 9 runs is a little more than small ball. But advance the ball, as the Jays like to say. And also, I mean, we saw early in the game that the Jays were going to put the pedal to the metal on the bases. We saw Vladdy steal a base. And you know, even that pickoff on the attempted double steal, I kind of like that aggressiveness. You know, I honestly do.
Yeah, me too. Well, say it. I know you've been wanting to say it for the last couple of days. 9-1. Boy, I know it just rolls off your tongue, right? I mean, if you're not going to hit homers when you go to Fenway, it's got to be 9-1. And the reason why I said that, they had 33 at-bats with runners on base. They're like top 10 in having those at-bats with traffic. That's a big deal, right? Bad team, you get more traffic, better chances of scoring more runs without having to slug all over the place. They had 6 different guys with at least 2 hits. They had 6 different guys with at least an RBI. 9-1, Jeff. And again, I think Mark Budzinski sort of in charge of the base running, right? You could tell early on, Vladdy was still in a base, Springer with the big 3-0 stolen base before the Ernie Clement, staying in the big part of the field. A lot of RBI stakes, big part of the field, right? Don't overswing, get a good pitch to hit, stay square to the baseball, think big part of the field. Again, I get back to that Jimenez thing, right? The longer your barrel's in the zone gives you a better chance of putting the ball in play and having success. So, yeah, I know you don't like to say it, so I'll say it for you. 9-1.
Yeah. The Jays are 44-37 at the halfway point of the season. That is the same record they had in two previous seasons when they went to the playoffs. Last year, they were 38-43 at the 81 game point. So that's a topic for conversation today, folks. Tonight, I should say, 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590, 590-590 by the text line. Very simple question tonight. What are your first half highlights for the Blue Jays? What are your first half lowlights? And look, they've just put the boots to the Red Sox, 9-0, coming off a series win over Cleveland. Yeah, I think the series against the Yankees is a series of the year coming up, but how do you feel about this 44-37 team? No Anthony Santander, Dalton Varsho's barely been here. The bullpen has been kind of all over the place.
Jimmy Garcia
hasn't been here. Vladdy still hasn't really carried the team for two games, let alone a stretch. Yet here they are, 44-37. What do you make of this team? What are your low points? What are your high points? Kevin, Jose Berríos, the third time this year against the Boston Red Sox. I mean, we've talked about this guy and you know, just how he posts up all the time, but he did more than post up tonight. Now, granted, this Red Sox lineup might be one of the worst Red Sox lineups we've seen in the past 10 years.
Yeah, it's not very good, right? I mean, sometimes it's karma, right? I mean, you treat your best player like they treated their best player.
Well, the general manager told us that he thought the team would be better.
Well, I mean, you know, you told me about, 6 months ago that don't ever trust what a GM says. They all lie to you. So
well,
I'm not going to trust what he says.
Some of them.
You know, you mentioned Jose Berríos, right? He's made 17 starts. Tonight was his 11th quality start. He had 7 of the 8 Ks off the slurve. He's throwing the slurve a little bit harder. That's the best slurve that I've seen him throw all year. He was manipulating. He had some that looked 12-6. He had some that he wanted to backdoor. He had some that he really wanted to snap off, depending on what the count was. The four-seamer was a good pitch for him. The changeup was a really good pitch to lefties. I think he faced 7 lefties. You got to have good change of speed. You got to have good sync to the changeup, right? The tough take on the changeup is a big deal for the front hip two-seamer. For the, if you want to go into a righty or two with the two-seamer, that changeup is a big deal. The four-seamer he used more tonight, 18 times out of the pitches that he throw out of the 91 pitches. So, yeah, I mean, we talked about who game one starter is, Jeff, in a playoff spot. I think we're seeing it play out. At least I did.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of felt that way just because I think he's the most consistent. He's the most predictable. That's a good way to put it. He's the most predictable starting pitcher they have. Let's wait and see how things shake out when Max Scherzer is, up and running and see how that fifth spot settles down. And most importantly, see what happens at the trade deadline. Because I'll tell you what, if you are the Blue Jays, I mean, if you're Ross Atkins, I don't know what else you need to see with this team. Like, you've got to be uber aggressive, I think, at this trade deadline. I really do.
Yeah. I mean, I'm thinking you maybe want to go out and get you an eighth inning guy. I think if you had an eighth inning guy, that would take pressure off your big three, right? Come playoff time, it's going to be all about the big three. You know, you're shortening that game enough to make it a high school game. Now you got enough power arms, right? You could make it, you could bring in whoever you wanted to bring in of the two lefties. You know, if you had Jimmy back healthy, if you have Hoffman, if you have that other underlying name that's not here yet, you have Rodriguez, who you could flip from the sixth inning to the eighth inning. Now you're cooking with gravy. So, you know, if you get the big boy hot and Vladdy, you know, starting to beat the dude to the spot on the fastball, and he still don't like that pitch. You know, John was seeming to tell us today, or at least telling me, because I was the one that asked the question, right? Basically saying he's the half a billion dollar man, he can do what he wants. So, you get him rocking and rolling, you get Tony back. Varsho hopefully can get back and be healthy enough to contribute, maybe hitting in the two hole occasionally. Ha ha, boy. For me, it's the high school game. That's what you're thinking about, Jeff. I mean, you're mentioning it. You need to get to the playoffs. That's where Max and whoever that fifth guy is going forward, in Lauer or whoever else, it's that when you get in September, can you shorten it enough? Can you power through teams who are going to make some adjustments come trade deadline? That muscle against muscle, right? I don't think they're quite there yet. They need that one guy plus Jimmy back healthy. If they get that one guy and can add Jimmy, man, I just don't know how you're not excited. With the at-bats they're having with runners on base, I think that's the key. They're showing you they don't have to hit homers against American League East teams to win, which that's almost like small ball. No, I mean, it's not really, but it sort of is, and it's kind of cool to watch.
416-870-0590, star 590, 1-888-666-0590, 590-590 is the text line. The Blue Jays have beaten the Boston Red Sox 9-0 in the first game of a three-game series at Fenway Park. The Jays have two more games in Boston, then they are at home to take on the New York Yankees. The Jays 44-37. That is the same record they had going to the playoffs 2 years ago and the year before that as well. And an 88 win pace. I don't know if I thought 88 wins would necessarily do it at the start of the year, but given where the American League is right now, 88 might get you more in a wild card spot.
Well,
you don't know.
I didn't think me or you were thinking Texas was going to Orioles were going to and the Red Sox were going to.
Yeah,
those three things right there sort of open the door to you don't have to win 90 games to get in the playoffs.
Brendan in Edmonton, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, Jeff, Kevin, I just wanted to, you were asking about what the my surprise is.
Yes.
This year. And for me, it's Alejandro Kirk and Ernie Clement have been the two biggest highlights for me. Both guys hitting over 300. Ernie's actually starting to get on base a little bit more than he has been past. So, I mean, what, a 350 on base now, at least, I think it was. So I love this guy. He'll play anywhere you want him to. I mean, like, he's not a first baseman, but he'll go and play first base. And he plays a great third base and second base. I don't think there's much of a drop-off between him and Andrés Giménez. If Giménez doesn't get more games like this, I'm not saying he needs to have three hits in a game and three RBIs and a walk with the bases loaded every game, but if he doesn't get more consistent offense and this team does make the postseason, for me, there's a big chance that Ernie is the everyday second baseman going into the postseason. And you're going to see probably Giménez come in off the bench as a defensive replacement late in games to just try and shore up that defense in the infield. But, like, I love what I've seen from these guys. That 9-against-1 mentality is evident throughout the entire team. Everybody's at-bats look like they're taking the at-bat for the next guy. Whoever's coming up behind them, nobody's thinking real selfishly. The stolen base today, I mean, I think they took advantage of Connor Wong a little bit, too.
Yep.
I mean, like, I don't know how many games he's had since he came back from his injury, but I don't think the throwing hand is quite all there yet. But, yeah, I love what I've seen from this team, and Jose Barrios especially. The pitching staff as a whole really taking shape now. I don't know where we can go with this, but I'd like to see them shoot for the moon, right?
Yeah. Brandon, I appreciate the call. And, you know, again, you keep playing like this, you're going to put pressure on the general manager to make a significant acquisition at the trade deadline. You know, look, I'm just going to say this about Andrés Giménez. We've only seen him play defense for half a season. I mean, there's a reason the guy's got the reputation he has defensively, and there's a reason he has the awards he has defensively. I'm with the caller in that if I have to, and my best defensive lineup ends up with Barger at third, Clement at second, maybe a trade acquisition in the outfield or something like that, The only thing I would say is you've got Andrés Giménez for another 3 years, maybe 4 years, at a lot of money. And I know for me, money doesn't mean all that much, but I'd be real careful about quote unquote benching a guy that I owe $80 million to over the next 3 years. And again, I caution people. People who have seen Andrés Giménez for a full season, he is a different level defender. And so I would just caution people that way. But yeah, I mean, if he doesn't start hitting and the team needs offense, yeah, he's there's a chance.
Yeah, look, I don't think the caller was saying that you bench him right away, but I do think, you know, if everybody else is sort of doing like the six guys with at least two hits, the six guys with at least an RBI, then you can sort of let him work through whatever he's trying to work through because he's going to be hitting seventh or eighth. He may not be hitting ninth because he ain't getting on enough times for Bo coming up, mm-hmm. right? You want to, after his first at bat, at least try and get some traffic because of what he does with runners in scoring position. So he may not be hitting ninth, but I'm with you, right? I mean, John sort of set the tone today with just the way I think we should be talking about him when it comes to the leash offensively. It just seems like they think they found something with the lower half. Let it play out a little bit. Again, it just gets back sort of the approaches, I think, Jeff, are contagious. That, I think, is why John sort of right out the gate in spring training said that 9-1. Because remember Don Mattingly said, we ain't going to homer ourselves to the playoffs. We're going to have to do that, pass the baton, have those quality at-bats, you know, have the, like the Kirky, 9-pitch walk after getting to 2 strikes. Those kind of at-bats to let the guy come up that hot to drive in the run. So, yeah, I mean, it's just, again, it's a good way to win games and put pressure on bad teams like the Red Sox.
Should mention, by the way, that Vladdy was in the lineup after taking a late batting practice. He was originally not in the lineup. The lineup originally had Alan Roden in it, but Vladdy, I mean, I'm sure he was sitting there. You'd probably have to bust his hand for him not to face Brian Baio, to be honest, given the way he hits against him and given the way he hits against the Boston Red Sox. Vladdy was in the game and scored 3 runs, got a couple of hits, and drew a 4-pitch walk as well, part of that little seventh inning spurt by the Blue Jays. Laurie in Toronto, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good, Laurie. Good, how are you?
I'm great, thanks. What a game, eh? Wasn't it fabulous?
Wonderful.
It was really good.
I just wanted to comment on your question about what I thought of the first season, hey, yays or nays, or first half of the season. And at the beginning, I'm a huge Jays fan. I'm a huge Schneider fan. I love my Jays. But I was really, really, really pleased that they brought Barger back up. I think that was a real plus. But the big thing is I was getting really ticked off at the manager because of the lineup. And I think his lineup change has made all the difference in the world. He seems to be making a better lineup. And that's keeping our guys out on bases and bringing them in, don't you think?
Yeah, Lori, I appreciate the call. Listen, I mean, I will say this. I mean, we talked about Vladdy hitting third right from the get-go. I understood John's reasoning because John, essentially what John was telling us early in the year is there is such a drop-off between my top four guys and everybody else that I essentially have to put the best three at the top of the order. And I think going into the year, we thought that. You know, we'd see the type of start we saw from Anthony Santander. I think once it became obvious that the top three, for whatever reason, weren't going to get out of the gate fast. I think John needed a couple of things to happen, Kevin, to kind of push him in that way. I think Dalton Varsho coming back and then going down again allowed him to do that. And quite frankly, Anthony Santander's injury kind of gave him carte blanche. And at that point, if you're without those two guys, you go ahead and do what you have to do. You move Vladdy down to third. But I think, Barker, you talked about this early in the year. You cannot have Bo and Vladdy hitting back-to-back. You just can't.
Yeah, for me, this has more screaming over Vladdy had enough of hitting in a two-hole than it was John saying, you know, on a plane ride from Philadelphia that we need to do something with Vladdy and mix up the lineup a little bit. I think it had more to do with the $500 million man and, you know, what he is to the organization and what he's done in a three-hole. So, yeah, look, start the season, you had no idea that Kirk and Springer were going to look like Kirk and Springer looks right now. So you were trying to stack the three guys. The best way is to put the one and two, yet your best two hitters, have those two guys on. So when Santander was hitting homers, it was more of a two-run homer and three-run homer variety. That's how you were going to win baseball games, and it didn't work out that way. You have to make changes. I like when John sort of doesn't let it fester. In past years, he'd let it fester. He'd let it play out. He doesn't do that anymore.
416-413-3959. That's the wrong number. 1-888-666-0590. First time, long time. 416-870-0590. *590. I mean, 416-413-3959 is the back leg line. You can call up and leave a question. Maybe we'll get to it next week. 590-590 is the text line. We're going to take a break. We're going to hear from the manager. We're going to do the Bet 365 standings update. I think we jinxed the Rays today, by the way. But we'll do the Bet 365 standings update. Go back to the phone lines as well. It's Blue Jays Talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
He did. You know, I think, you know, shout out to the medical team for sure. And he went in, hit, and it was kind of like in the movie Major League when Pedro Serrano said to, I think it was Jake Taylor, he said, Serrano want to bat. And he said, okay. So Vlad said, hey, I feel great. And you know what I'm talking about? That reference? You got to look it up. Anyway, he said, I feel great. And I said, great, you're in. He's handled Bayo in the past. And a little bit of a shot in the arm for everyone, I think.
Yeah, shame and whoever didn't know that reference.
Shot in the arm.
That's a good one.
The Blue Jays beating the Boston Red Sox 9-0 at Fenway Park. Oh, it's a happy, happy crew. The Blue Jays are.
Biggest series of the year?
No. The series against the Yankees is the biggest series of the year. Time now for the Bet 3. Don't interrupt. Time now for the Bet 365 standings update. You know I'm right. Download the Bet365 app for today's baseball odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 19 plus, play responsibly, Ontario only. At this time, I would like to extend the apologies of Jeff Blair, Kevin Barker, and the Blair and Barker Show to the Tampa Bay Rays. They're getting waxed 22-8 by the Baltimore Orioles in the top of the ninth inning. They're on their second position player pitching. Of course, they're the Rays. This after we spent a good segment talking with Brian Anderson about how the Rays were the best team in baseball. I, of course, tried to convince everybody that wasn't the case. But anyhow, 22-8, the Orioles are having their way with the Tampa Bay Rays. The Yankees, they have defeated the Sacramento Athletics 3-0. So, what?
Sorry. That rolls right off your tongue.
Sacramento Athletics, boy.
Don't it?
It just rolls off like you know what. Anyhow, the Yankees are 47-34. My Rays are 46-35. Barker's Blue Jays are 44-37. Nobody's Red Sox are 40-43. Craig Breslau's Red Sox actually are 40-43. And the Baltimore Orioles are 34-46. So as it stands right now, the Jays are 2.5 up in the wild card and 3 back in the American League East, and drum roll, their run differential is +8. That's the biggest it's been in a while, I think.
Wow.
And you know how much I love me some run differential.
You say it every day?
I say it every day. I get up every morning and check the run differential like I check the stock market. Every day I get up and I look for the run differential. Shane, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, guys. Love the show.
Thank you.
I just wanted to point out, you know, one thing I think people don't listen to is last year we had a lot of sourness around the team. I don't talk about the character guys we brought in. We brought in Tony, we brought in Max, and we brought in Jimenez, who were all guys who were loved in their clubhouse, and they contribute in other ways rather than just bat on ball. And sometimes these guys reflect in getting extra hits or cheering on your teammates. And I think we're starting to see that because we're not hitting the ball out of the park this year. We're just doing the little things that matter. You know, and I want to ask you guys an honest question. Here's my biggest worry for playoffs. Do we have a true ace? I don't think we do. I think we have a lot of number twos and threes, but I don't think we got a true ace. Love your thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, I think you saw the ace pitching tonight. Now, whether or not he's, you know, the same type of ace you see from other postseason teams, you know, I think most postseason teams would have a more clear cut ace than the Blue Jays do. But right now, he's the most consistent. He's the most predictable.
Yeah, I'm not sure going into a first game of a playoff series that the Khakis wouldn't get out of the way if Berríos is throwing. There wouldn't still be a matchup pocket.
No, that's
where
a good point.
They'd be sort of worried about it. This is my point about, right, if you can't go out and give up something to get maybe, I ain't saying a one, that's some heavy lifting, but maybe a true number two, somebody who's been there and done it before, go out and try and get you an eighth inning guy. Turn it into a high school game. Power plays in the playoffs. That's in pens, too. If you can do that, I think you got a better chance. I just think Jose's predictable. Like, the slurve's good enough. He can get a lefty out, which is a big deal because of the changeup. The two-seamer, he's found good command and good finish on that. He simplified those all that mechanical thing. He don't do the windup anymore. That's repeatable. He doesn't have to think about that anymore. And, oh, by the way, it's the first day you've actually seen Kirky with a little fire. Mm-hmm. Little vinegar back there, right? I mean, he's having conversations with bad umpires.
And he went out to the mound on his own. He didn't need to be led by the hand.
He pointed a couple of times where he wanted the ball to go. It is amazing when you pay a guy, give him up there, he gets free and easy, starting to rake. Like, the totality of his game is just starting to show up. So, yeah, I mean, again, it's going to be intriguing to see how the front office handles what they got and what they're trying to add. But for me, I'm turning that sucker into a high school game, and hopefully somebody in the lineup has a big inning and runs into one.
I mean, ultimately what you'd like is the type of starting people or the type of starting pitcher that would keep the Khakis away. Yeah, you want a guy. That's what I'm saying. Ultimately, you'd like a no-brainer as your ace. You guys in the Khakis, go over there. Go talk to the relievers. Leave me alone. I'm getting ready to give you seven. Kevin and Dryden, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
I think it was a real mature game. I don't think that it was a very big problem for them. I think it's very good, but I liked the Jays ever since, even since I went to a Jays game in 2019, the Jays pound the Bo Sox, 6-3 that night.
That's a pounding?
Yeah, that is a pounding. Well, I mean, it's not like a...
This is a pounding. 9-0 is a pounding.
Well, yeah, and 6-3 kind of is kind of like a pounding, but more 9-0. Yeah, I mean, that's a thumping. I mean, but still, I mean, that was classy back then. But, I mean, even now, this year, 2025, I mean, that was a good victory for the Jays. But I like the fact that even Canada has to cheer on the Vancouver Canadiens, who's another form of minor league team.
Are you talking about? Thanks for the call, Kevin. You're talking about the single A team, the Vancouver Canadiens. Anytime you can pound on the Red Sox, I think it's a good night. You know what I say? An angel gets its wing every time the Red Sox get embarrassed, or wings every time the Red Sox get embarrassed, you heard the crowd tonight, as we predict, as Rob Bradford said, what does Friday night in Boston mean? Mm-hmm. Beer and baseball. What happens when you combine beer, baseball, and bad Red Sox baseball? You get a real, real grumbly crowd. And even Danny made the comment on the telecast. Now, that was kind of a surly group. I mean, they got the red, you know what, anyhow, as it is because of the Devers trade. This was the Red Sox first game back home since the Devers trade. And it's like I said to you, I looked at that lineup and the Red Sox lineup, and holy cow.
Without Bregman in it, it's pretty easy to navigate through.
It's
a little tougher just because he'll give you that professional at bat, and that little short porch and left in Fenway Park is not the easiest thing to pitch around his bat pass. So he'd be a little tougher. But they're not real hard to pitch to. You know, Abreu's stuck sort of in that five hole, sometimes in the four hole. You know, it's Trevor Story. I mean, is he the hardest to pitch around? You throw him a strike to ball secondary, something that's breaking. It's not the hardest about. So, yeah, I just wonder where the run scoring comes from. That's one of the worst lineups I think we've seen in a while from the Red Sox, which is very alarming. The way their front office talks, the way their manager talks, man, they got some heavy lifting to do.
Getting rid of Rafael Devers was supposed to make them a better team, according to their resident genius.
Well, at least they got a good clubhouse.
Yeah, the clubhouse is happy now. Thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by the local family-owned Crown Rust Control Centers in Brownsville and St. Thomas. Crown is proud to be Canadian-owned and operated since 1986, so protect your vehicle from rust today at your local Crown Rust Control Center, or you can visit crown.com, Crown, Canada's number one rust protection.